Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 436. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me, back together again, back home in a blistering Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, after a week in the beautiful yet a little boring maybe at times, not a lot of stuff to do, but a beautiful nonetheless Salt Lake City, Utah after UFC 291. Cole Coffee, have you recovered from the pay-per-view fight week? Have you gotten back used to being home again and got back into the swing of things?
I did. Boy, that the flight back, though, got me. So me and Morgan both took a very first flight out, Southwest, 6 a.m.,
yeah,
which pretty much meant stay up. So the whole next day, I was out of it.
Yep.
Like, I think I fell asleep on the plane for a minute. It's funny. So we thought we were going to have an empty seat, but even though they kept saying it's a full seat, dudes taking their damn time to get on the plane. And of course, one of the biggest guys left sits in between us. But what was funny is because I woke up on the plane and all three of us were just like apparently just conked out and we're sleeping in our seats or whatever.
Oh, the dude between us too?
The dude between us,
that's
yeah.
That's funny.
So get back here. I fell asleep for like an hour, even though I was trying not to, because I was trying to get my clock back onto the normal time. Because if I would have just slept as soon as we got back, it would have been my sleep for the night would have been screwed. So that whole day was trying to just sort of stay up until the evening.
Oh, God.
But that just kind of made the next day worse as well, you know. So it took me like 2 days to kind of get it back to normal for, in a sense, pretty much staying up 24 hours. But also hanging out with you guys in Salt Lake City, I drank a lot more than I've drank in the past, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, a year, the past year or whatever.
We are terrible influences on you.
Yes, I literally felt like I gained weight and my liver was hating me. I feel like I'm still in the process of detoxing from that trip. I did get out this morning and got a nice little walk. It is, even though you said it was blazing or whatever, it's the temperature is much nicer today because we had some rain come in the area. So like I got out this morning and it was actually felt pretty good. I think it was still maybe in the 80s when I got out there this morning. It looks like it's starting to warm up again right now. But no, I'm glad to be back. Glad to be not in the same room with you guys forcing me to drink alcohol. Because, it was good though. It was good though. There were some good drinks and, we found some, met some good people down there. Salt Lake City was good. It was good times, but boy, I need to get back on the, which is it when you're not drinking, back on the wagon or off the wagon?
Oh,
off the
wagon. I think you're on the wagon. I think you're, you know, fortunately I've never been around a wagon, so I'm not sure. I think you're on the wagon when you're not drinking and you're off the wagon.
When you're not drinking.
When you're drinking.
Well, even though I do have a friend, she got a long layover, so I picked up from the airport. She's actually in the room where I think she's taking a nap or whatever. We'll probably go out for a beer before I drop her back off at the airport. But that's that's not go crazy at Area 51 in Salt Lake City crazy.
That place is great, man. Just the right amount of sketch there, man. It's plenty amount of sketch there. I will shout out to the great Jose Youngs for turning us on to Area 51 in Salt Lake City. It is a unique place, and I think no trip there is complete without at least one rambunctious night at Area 51. We even got a little karaoke in there, man.
We did. There's a whole room for it. I'm like, what else do they use that room for? I think it's a whole karaoke room. I did say there's a pool table in the back, but yeah, we got some songs in. Our Canadian friends got some songs in. Some UFC staffers got in. I think, I forget what her name, one of the girls, I think she's on the ESPN team, got a song in. It got a little wild until they realized that they're not as fun as us, and then the other UFC people left because they're not quite as fun as us. It got to be a little too much for them, you know. They start seeing us sing, then they feel jealous because they can't sing like us, and then they want to leave.
And
they
can't
dance like us.
It's funny because people are probably saying, wait, I thought you said this place was sketchy, and now you're talking about karaoke. But it's weird. Like, there's one room where it's karaoke, and we were singing some songs, and there were some performers in there, man, of all kinds. There were some performers in there. But then you walk out of that room, and immediately you walk into, like, Euro
East
goth.
Berlin.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
East Berlin goth bar.
Yeah, exactly. It's the weirdest place ever, man.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty intense.
I love it. We had a good time.
Upstairs.
Yep.
And then remember I was just like trying to explore and then somehow almost transported myself into the 18 only bar part where there's a dance floor because they're like, no, you can't take your alcohol. And I didn't know what, I thought they were just, I didn't get it at first when she was trying to explain the no alcohol part. I was like, what are you talking about? And then they were saying, oh, it's an 18 bar, whatever.
Yeah, that can't be good. Why do they have you've got all these different sketchy bars, and then, oh, by the way, your 18 to 21 year old freaks hang out over here.
Yeah. I guess gives them something to aspire to for the next few years. In 3 years, you guys can go on that side.
Oh, my God.
Just keep coming back.
Good times.
3 years.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it was a fun time. We did have fun. USC 291 was a great event. Obviously, we talked about it, wrapped it all up on the and a half episode. I did want to share that I have come back, and I wish you would have gone. I know you were busy. You had other stuff going on. I have come back as a damn cheerleader for this COSM experience thing, man. I posted a little bit of video that they sent me. I'm sure everybody's seen a little bit of media talking about this experience they had where we went and saw this up-and-coming company. It's called COSM. It's based in Salt Lake City. It's a unique company history. They actually started out making, like, planetariums or whatever. I mean, it's like an 80-year-old company, and they've just kind of evolved into this. And this is this thing where you're seeing that's going to be presenting UFC events and other live events as well. You know, they've already partnered with the NBA as well. They've already partnered with Cirque du Soleil. And they're going to be showing events in this the 8K, I believe they called it shared reality is what they kind of label it, where it's just this huge, like, 85-foot LED dome. And it just, man, the best thing I can say about this thing is it literally, when they turn the thing on, man, I felt like I feel when I'm sitting cage side at the UFC. Like, I got those same emotions. Like, it feels that realistic. But what I think is really cool about this is it's not just the tech that they have. It's like, they've fleshed out the concept into it's going to be like a sick-ass bar around it. Like, they showed like the layout of what the first venue is going to look like. The first one's going to be in Los Angeles early next year. The second one's going to be in Dallas summer of next year. And then they're already mapping out locations like 3 through 10. But I'm just here to be a cheerleader for this company, man. I want to go experience these things. But they, like I said, they've got the venues figured out. So they'll be like, it's really cool bar areas, and they're talking about, you know, they're going to have top-notch food and stuff to go along with it, and service
that
they bring
good.
Right to your seat.
Bar stuff. I mean, but yeah. Besides that, though, I mean, like, doesn't it just sound like it's just a super high-quality movie theater?
100% to a degree. Now, they do want to make it be known that, like, they're not going to be showing, like, first-run movies or whatever. Their idea is, you know, to fill it up with, like, events, and they'll have different day parts. And so, you know, one night of the week you've got on the NFL game, and the next week, I mean, they haven't partnered with the NFL yet, but that would be the idea, right, is that you're selling tickets every single day and you're filling it up every single thing. And it is. It's so weird because, and this is what all of us,
because you're not wearing goggles, you're not wearing anything that's virtual. You're sitting in a room just staring at the screen that sort of wraps around a good bit.
100%. But it's the other thing that they talked about the tech. That's why I think you would have liked it, because you get the tech a lot more. But the other thing they talked about was the brightness of it, so that, like, you can have all the lights on, and I guess because the brightness is so much, and I don't know what makes it that way. Again, I'm not a big tech guy, but, like, you can have all the lights on in the room, so you can be hanging out. So it doesn't have to be like a theater where you have it dark. Like, you can have the lights on, and it still looks like you're in the flesh, and it's so hyper-realistic. Like, as you're sitting there, you can see, like, people walking around in the arena. Like, you can make out, like, all the people. I mean, everything in there is so detailed. Like, you can make out every part of it. And I saw a lot of people say, oh, well, they already do that with VR. And I have experienced it with VR, but it's just not the same. Like, you got the, like you said, you got the goggles on, and, you know, you can feel it a little bit. But this, it's just something about the way the perspective of it is, man. It's super cool. I'm just telling you right now, if you happen to be in LA, if you happen to be in Dallas, if you happen to be wherever one of these things ends up getting built, I'm just saying, give it a shot, man. Like, I thought it was one of the coolest things. And I was very prepared to be underwhelmed and just be like, yeah, so what? I mean, I read the release when they partnered with them, and I was like, I kind of thought like you, like, oh, cool. So it's just like a big movie theater. But I don't know. You go there, and it's just got a different feel to it, man. So I'm coming back as a
cheerleader. I imagine the same thing in the Sphere. People think the same thing with the Sphere. It's like, you know, it'll be an experience once you see it. But when you get boiled down to it, it's just a crazy, super immersive screen. But they're going to actually play with the environment, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Whether it be like fog and wind and stuff like that, that can kind of go with it as well.
Let me tell you, man, I was so blown away by COSM that I came home that night and bought tickets to the Sphere. You know, I'd been talking about, like, maybe I wasn't going to buy it, maybe I wasn't going to do it or whatever. So I went ahead
and pricey tickets.
I pulled the trigger on it. So I will be there, I think, October 7th. Is opening night at the Sphere, at least for the non-U2 stuff. Like, U2 starts before that. This thing, I don't want to just call it a movie because, as you said, it's an experience.
Well, I know you're talking about that the UFC tried shooting, you know, to give it a little, I guess, the tech update. You were saying that the UFC shot with 4K, and they were like, this doesn't look good enough. It looked like standard definition. So they were shooting in 8K, which 8K is, it's incredibly defined and it's crazy and you can really push into stuff. So I can see where even just looking at an 8K image blown up really, really big, it's going to be so just amazing to be able to look into things.
Yeah.
I just pulled up the Sphere. The Sphere is 16K. Like 16K. Like it's going to be fucking ridiculous, but the screen is not, it doesn't, I don't think, the screen's not physically as close as what it is in these, this Cosm, am I saying it right?
Yep.
Cosm rooms, so that'll give you much more of an immersive because you're so close, but, so even though there's a difference of, like, say, the resolution, say, if one is doing an 8K and the other one's doing 16 or whatever, that difference of the size and the space from where you are to the screen, but the screen at the Sphere is gonna be, is so massive. I imagine you're gonna be probably more blown away by the Sphere, but the Sphere is like a billion, 2 billion, whatever, crazy billion, $100 billion or whatever,
$2 billion,
some stupid ridiculous amount. But yeah, I mean, it's so crazy the technology that's out there, and it's so funny. I remember when we were happy to start shooting HD, and then there was the 4K, and they're like, oh well, TVs and things, will we ever really adopt it? Now they're already got stuff going. It's like they're skipping
crazy,
going to 8K and all this other crazy shit. But no, that's, it's very, very cool. Anytime they're stepping the bounds up and stuff, it's just crazy, and it just makes everything old just that much more ridiculous when you see stuff. You know, it's funny. Let's see if you know what this is. And this is gonna be, this makes perfect sense for a podcast where it's only audio. Do you know what this is?
Oh, my man's pulling out a VHS tape and holding it up. A VHS. Why?
Can you hear that? First, can you hear it sliding out of the sleeve? I don't know. Most kids these days,
why,
have no idea that sound.
Why do you have a VHS tape handy, by the way? You didn't even have to get up and go get that.
So I was digitizing. Yeah, it's within feet. Within feet for me. So I've been digitizing or scanning a bunch of photos that I found, because I was trying to find a picture of a friend. A friend passed away some years back, and his wife reached out on Facebook and was like, hey, if anybody has selfies or whatever, blah, 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 share them with me. And I was like, dude, I don't have any selfies, because we didn't do selfies then.
Right.
We did like film videos, actually film photos. And so I knew I had a photo of the head shop that we used to work at. So I was digging through all these things, and I found the photo. And then I found all these photos from my old days playing in bands back in the day. I was like, I've never scanned these. And now it's like, we broached the 20, like it's been 20 some years, you know, since these days. So I was like, I should scan some of these and share on Facebook and, you know, kind of give everybody a chance to kind of relive these moments. So in the process of doing that, I found some VHS tapes, and I wanted this one here. If I can get it digitized, it says, anti-harassment prevention, it's everybody's responsibility. When I was in school for theater, so I actually acted out some of these roles.
No way.
For this anti-harassment one, I was like a principal, another one I was like just somebody like doing whatever. Dude, it is so ridiculously bad. But I'm gonna digitize these and probably put them on like Insta or Facebook or whatever.
That's 2004. That's definitely going straight to patreon.com/the MMA Road Show. There's no question. Our friends over at Patreon.
Because it's pain. It's going to be painful and so embarrassing. But that's why. So I actually have a it's funny. I would pull out this. I have a VCR sitting on a chair here with a little. So I have to buy like a little adapter that allows you to connect to a computer and digitize it. Because if people don't know, like VHS tapes and like even with the other stuff, the film itself can start degrading. So right. At some point, if you don't digitize it, at some point your film becomes almost like unusable. So these VHS tapes don't have a shelf life forever. So I was just like, oh, why not?
And you're doing it yourself. Because I know there's a lot of companies that like you send it to or whatever and you pay them to do it.
Yeah, you can. I found like easy enough, like the little adapter on Amazon that can just act as an interface, because that's all it needs really, because you have the cables that come out of the VCR that plug into this little adapter, and the adapter has like a USB port that just plugs into your thing, and then you just record it in, and then it just sees it like as an interface, as like a media source. Then if you have something that can record the video, so I'll either record it.
Well, that's good to know, because I'm sure a lot of people probably think it's a bigger undertaking, or they don't want to pay to do it or whatever, you know what I mean? But you're 100%
right. Yeah, you definitely
can
buy the gear. It's a small investment, but it's not a big investment by any means, but it's definitely doable. Yeah, if you have stuff that you can do it, but
that's
yeah.
Funny.
So I think you'll get a kick. And this one, I actually acted in a play here. The most lamentable comedy and the most cruel death of Pyramus and Thisbe. It's kind of a playoff of Fuck, which one? It was one of Shakespeare's plays or whatever, but yeah, I played in that one. That was pretty fucking
ridiculous. Oh, I'm excited to see the Cold Coffee acting compilation, man. I mean, that is fantastic. I look forward to seeing that.
It was a much skinnier, younger version of myself.
I love it. I love it. All right, well, listen, I must say, I guess congratulations are in order to you and your crew over there at the fine establishment MMA Junkie, once again nominated for a World MMA Award.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the crew and
congrats on your nod as well.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Just, you know, once again.
You know. hey, I won the first one. They can't take that away from me. I still got the trophy, baby. I won the first
there
one.
You go.
They can't take them away from me. But congrats also to the great Nolan King for his first nomination. I thought that was cool to see, man. He put in a lot of good work this past year.
Well, you know, and it's funny because there's a lot of media guys that have been grinding that maybe are, I wouldn't even say newer because now Nolan's been doing it for quite a little while, but have been steadily doing it. But it's tough because they only have so many slots. They usually get a nod. Ariel's been getting a nod. And then there's like two other slots, right? There's only like four. Do they do only four people or something like that?
Five.
So, I mean, it's tough to get that nod. But, I mean, like Nolan's been doing work at this level for so high. I mean, he should have been worthy to be nominated for years.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he finally got the, you know, the nod finally. I mean, dude does great work. And this year he's been doing a lot of really, really cool stuff. I mean, especially dealing with a lot of the Cain Velasquez trial and a bunch of other stuff that's just not the funnest work to do. But, you know, somebody's got to be doing it. And I'm glad he got a nod. But, you know, there's a ton of journalists out there that are doing,
absolutely,
you know, some very, very important work that never get the accolades of something like this. And, you know, and I... As much as I'm happy for the team, you know, to get nominated, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that never get the notice because in my eyes, this is still like a big, giant popularity contest. And there's a lot of guys out there that aren't as close to the guys that are making the nominations to ever get their names in the hat for this sort of thing, you know.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, if any of those guys listen to this, you know, and they're ever, you know, if they're looking at the guys that make these get these nominations every year and you think that you're maybe not at that level, don't let this discourage you because at the end of the day, it's a giant fucking popularity contest and you just don't know the people, you know. So, like, keep grinding, keep doing your shit. But I'm happy when a nice guy like Nolan, who's been doing the work, get the nod. I'm happy for him because I know this means something to him, just like I'm happy for you. I know this is something that you like. As much as I'll bitch and moan about it being a whack-ass popularity contest, I understand that some people value it and what it means. I, for one, just tend to focus on the bullshit side of it, which is it's a boys' club. You know, it's those who know people get the nods and stuff like that. Am I happy to see Junkie in there? Would I be sad if they weren't in there? Yeah, sure, of course. But, you know, there's definitely some outlets and some other people that are doing really great work that never get their names in there, but
no,
I'm happy for the people that do it.
I mean, listen, you're right. I do. I mean, the obviously I go in every year knowing that unfortunately I'm not going to be able to win the prize. I did get there first one, but it does mean a lot to me to be nominated. I really do like, and I'll just say every year I actually just really enjoy going to the ceremony, man. It's you see everybody
what part do you enjoy?
Okay, hold on.
What's your favorite part?
The open bar is a very fine. I told you last week if you want John Morgan to go somewhere, just make sure there's complimentary beverages, and I will be there. However, the other part that I like too is, you know, it's everybody that we work with and we work around and like, but everybody's all dressed up, you know, and got their suits on.
It's the one time of the year you will put slacks on or pants on.
It is the one time of the year that if it's not a broadcasting gig that I will put
or
pants
broadcast.
On.
I will take that back because I saw you wearing a suit the other day and I forgot. I'm always like, what event is it that makes him put the damn suit on? Because you do so many of these things. I know there's one event where you guys are in sweats and tights or whatever. That's the grappling one, right?
Sweats and tights. Sweats and tights. There is, when we do the grappling show, when we do Fury Grappling and those, I do wear
you're
shorts
the pajamas
and
t-shirt. And sweats and tights. And
pajamas, yeah. Rolling in pajamas and flip-flops. And we just call it from bed. No! Oh, we do it more casual because it's grappling. So we do it a little bit more casual approach. But yeah, anyway, I do enjoy it. So you're right. It's a popularity contest, you're right. I mean, it's fan vote, so it's always, you know, I mean, Dana White has won leading man every single year since it's been invented. Like, the UFC gets promotion of the year every single year. So that part of it's kind of frustrating, or what have you. But
the coaches and the trainers always is kind of a fun one because that one I like because then I feel like, okay, there's some, you know, like that, there's some real debate on some of that sort of particular ones when it comes to like the trainers, coaches, gym.
And then like, obviously like fight of the year, knockout of the year, submission fight of the year. Those are cool as well because obviously those are changing all the time. And listen, I know the folks behind the scenes are trying to figure out a way to change things up a little bit. But I think for all the negatives that you presented, you really did make a great point about the people that maybe – because I didn't – for instance, Mark Raimondi, this was his first year, which I didn't realize. Like, how has Mark Raimondi never been nominated?
Really?
Yeah, I saw him post that.
Yeah,
and I was
surprising.
Like, how is this his first year that he's ever been nominated? I am shocked by that. I know Aaron Bronstetter was nominated again, but he's been kind of a new name. And within, I think last year was maybe the first year he was nominated. So it is cool to see some different people get recognition. Again, it does mean a lot to me to be in there. I know, so I'd hate to have to give my spot, but sometimes I do. Like it is
it
nice.
It might happen.
Especially
if all you're doing is commentary.
I know. And that's kind of the direction things are shifting. So maybe I'm not on that list anymore. So I value this list. Very much so. Maybe this will be one of my final years of nomination.
Has anybody ever called him LeBronstetter? Am I making that up if I call him LeBronstetter?
No, that's. I think that would be
I might
new.
Call him LeBron for short, but I'm thinking next time I see him, I'm going to call him LeBronstetter.
LeBronstetter. I like that.
Because somebody the other day was like, congrats, Bron. And I was like, why have I never, ever put this together in my mind.
That's great.
Where I haven't called him like LeBron or LeBronstetter.
That is amazing. All right, listen, we got a lot of MMA to talk about, a lot to get to. I did want to share one thing, and I talked about this a little bit on the and a half episode over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. But my understanding, a lot has been made and a lot is still being made of this Stephen Wonderboy Thompson withdrawal from last week's event and kind of where the UFC stands on the financial side of it. Now, here's the interesting part is the UFC is never going to come out and say anything. And in some ways, I do applaud that. In other ways, I don't. I sometimes wish because I think you don't get to see the full picture. I know a lot of people have kind of made it sound like the UFC just told, you know, Wonderboy to kick rocks because he basically decided he didn't want to take the fight versus his opponent not being eligible to compete. That is not the case. There is going to be some money that changes hands. There will be some compensation. Stephen Thompson will be booked again. And I spoke with multiple people with knowledge of it behind the scenes. Just none of them could go on record. But a big part of it was Dana White was on vacation, so he wasn't there, and he's got to be part of the negotiations, and they're going to get this thing settled. But the UFC does intend to compensate Stephen Thompson to some degree. Now, his show money is – you know, a lot of people say, well, if you make weight, you should get your show money. Well, his show money is, you know, it's over $200,000. So, I mean, that's not like a small amount of money to just, you know, write out. And there's the added fact of he elected not to compete, not that his opponent could not compete. Now, I completely support his decision not to compete. You know, he laid it out perfectly. Look, he knows the window that he's got at the elite level is narrowing down a little bit. He knows that one slip-up could really ruin his opportunity to take a championship fight. And he did it before, and it didn't pay off, right? He lost a split decision to Darren Till when he fought an opponent that was overweight. So for all those reasons,
who?
Darren Till.
Oh, that fight.
That guy. You remember that guy? Oh, man.
Why didn't you say so?
Now you know. Now I remember. And so for that reason, I completely understand. But, you know, then you do have to understand, if you make that decision not to compete, the UFC then has that, I guess, decision to make into how to compensate you. And they are going to compensate you. Like, the UFC is never going to let you lose money on your training camp or, you know, not be able to pay your bills because you expect. I mean, they're going to make sure that you get a reasonable amount of money. It's just they're not going to give you your full show money. And I think as you
maybe, depending on who it is.
In this situation,
I see that as being the case.
So I think you have to. So the contracts, the way they're written, I think a lot of people don't realize that is. And I've said this before that I do think there should be some language in the contracts from the athletic commissions that kind of guarantees athletes some form of compensation. Maybe not their full compensation, but some form of compensation. Because there is – listen, I think for the way that I would like to see it written is, look, if I show up and I make weight and my opponent falls ill and can't compete, at that point I think I get my full show money. I did absolutely nothing wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I have made weight. I have done my job. I should get my show money. Now – if it's a situation where I show up, I make weight, my opponent misses weight, and I decide I don't want to compete, Now, see, that, it's a dangerous precedent because if you said, well, then you should be guaranteed your money, then literally every time somebody missed weight, there would be no incentive whatsoever except for the win bonus to take the fight. And so then I think you'd see a lot more people walking away from fights. And I think the UFC, the athletic commissions, they don't want to incentivize you walking away from the fight. But that said, there should be, I think, some guaranteed, whether it be 50% of your show money or, I mean, even – yeah, I think maybe 50%. I don't know what the right number would be, but if my opponent misses weight and I elect to walk away from the fight, there should be some guarantee. That way it doesn't even need to be a negotiation. Like why do I need to go at that point, you know, and now we got to go into a room together. And if we just had this all lined out ahead of time, at least it would just be done.
And the opponent keeps their money? The opponent doesn't have to pay anything? Like you're just getting your 50% and that's it and you walk away from the moment?
Yeah. I think so. I did, because
the commission, I think. Well, no, because the commission. Well, you kind of figured because the commission makes their percentage off of what the fighter's getting paid. Like it's in the commission's benefit for the fight to actually happen or something take place. Because right. If the fight doesn't take place, they get bumped. They don't get anything.
Yep.
Correct.
Correct. That is correct. So
I mean, it just makes it. I was just gonna say, well, like when I heard they didn't get paid anything, the media thing, the first thing I thought, and I didn't rage about it or anything like that, and I know a lot of people immediately got really fired up. My initial thought was just like, if when we've seen something like that happen before, it's because there was an immediate rebooking,
right?
You know, so like if we hear Stephen Thompson on a card in like a month or even less, maybe a couple weeks, you know, I know granted that's tough to make that cut and then ask him to repeatedly do it. That's why maybe a month would be good, but maybe less than a month, and then they can give him some particular portion. So that's always what I thought was like the caveat of like the amount of money that they're willing to give you. Like, we'll give you some of this show money, but we're going to rebook you back up there. And then that you're getting your full fight. That full fight counts. That next, they give you a little bit of money, but it doesn't count towards that fight.
Correct.
Of your contract because Correct. They rebook you. So in a sense, it's like extra money just to get you to that next fight, which is going to happen hopefully soon. So I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that there's an immediate rebooking, whether it be in the next couple events that they can kind of smash him on. And that's what I initially thought when I heard that he didn't get anything. But yeah, I mean, I think you raise a good point. I like the 50% or like something, you know, you've done your part. If you're making weight and you're there and you're ready to go and it's completely out of your hands, in a sense of where like you sign a contract, just like Dana and the UFC all says, hey, we signed a contract. When it comes to their money, everything's laid out. It's laid out in the contract. There should be no ill will towards these fighters when the details aren't met, when your opponent doesn't meet that other line, you don't have to fight. But it would be nice as a gesture if you've done your part to get something back. So I like the 50%. I mean, even if there's, you know, maybe if it's 50% and hey, we'll call you and try to get you booked here soon.
Right.
Or hey, man, can you take like 25% and you're guaranteed to get booked in within like 2 weeks or something. If they could put some sort of thing where you know you're going to get your money, your ability to make that money, because, you know, part of that money, even if you're getting something, then you got to do what? You got to slice off a little bit less for your coaches and your managers and your training partners and everything else. When you're not getting your full purse, that's going to hurt you. I know these guys ultimately just want to get in there and fight again and get a chance to make their full check. But it's good that they at least give something. But I think if they give them that immediate rebooking and a little something goes a long way. So I'm under the impression that we're going to find out that he's booked very, very soon.
Yep.
For something really, really quickly, even within, I'd have to pull up to see what events, but I would think it could happen within a month.
Yeah,
I'd imagine.
I think they'll get them booked quickly. They'll definitely move to do that in a situation like this. So I don't know. I guess I just want to lay out there. I'm not trying to by any stretch say, hey man, you know what the UFC is doing is completely right here. Maybe it's not, but I just think people, if they're going to argue it, I think you need to argue it with the right knowledge, which is not that no money is going to change hands, not that there's any whatever. I do think the system could be updated, could be changed, but I think a lot of people got the impression that the UFC just said, all right, Wonderboy, you're not taking this fight. Kick rocks, man. We'll talk to you in 6 months or whatever. That's not the case. They're going to make sure that he doesn't lose money on his training camp. They're going to make sure he gets booked quickly and all those things. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that, hey, what the UFC did here is perfect, it's right, it's et cetera, et cetera. You can still argue against it, but I just think if you're going to argue it, make sure that you're arguing with the right details. I don't think those were initially reported, so that's why I kind of want to clear it up a little
bit. And it's not like Dana didn't have a phone, but it's not like Dana being, you know, in another room or even in the next state. I forget where he's off at. What is he, Italy or somewhere
Italy,
overseas?
Yep.
He's overseas somewhere. So, I mean, it's time differences, communication. I'm sure that threw a whole wrench. And I mean, it was interesting. We had one guy in the back of the room watching his opponent make weight, and he's like, yeah, it's going to happen. You know, I'm not throwing stones. Like, right. Let's take this fight. And so it was so weird. Like, we got the notice that the percentage that the fight was on, like, instantly. Almost immediately.
Instantly.
And then the next one was like, well, this might go on to later on today. You know, and we're like, well, we have the ceremonials. So it's like, I remember us all being at the ceremonials, like, have we heard anything? Like, what's about to happen? And then it was just kind of weird that Megan threw the information out there during the QA. But yeah, I mean, it happens. It's going to happen again. It would be nice to see some sort of, you know, I guess, real structure of what that sort of happens. But I see your point, too. I mean, if it's incentivized to just immediately say, no, I'm not going to go in there, and then we start losing fights from the card, then it affects the fans watching it.
Yep.
I mean, it affects the people that come out, you know. And I mean, I don't know. It's a tricky situation, but you know, something does need to happen. If they did rebook him, this is before I forget, would you be mad if it's the same booking, or does it need to be a brand new fighter?
Oh yeah, it can't be Michelle Pettis. Well,
I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
I think everybody's kind of pissy about it, and just like it's like you're almost rewarding him,
100%.
Giving him an immediate rebook.
And I'll tell you
if you do it.
You know what's funny is, and I tweeted about this as well, but man, I thought it was pretty wild. Is that Michelle Pettis was removed from the welterweight rankings. So he went in that week ranked number 15. And when the new rankings came out this week, Kevin Holland was in at 12, Chiesa stayed at 15, and Michelle Pajeda fell out. And I think a lot of people thought that Michelle Pajeda just got bumped out because he didn't fight and Kevin Holland jumped in. But the UFC and the U.S., so the rankings, you know, I take part of the rankings, and actually the company that I work for owns Combat Registry, the company that that does the rankings. But the UFC is the one that actually maintains who is available in those roster spots. And they actually pulled Michelle Pajeda from welterweight, and moved him to the middleweight division. So I guess that decision has already been made that, sir, you are no longer going to be trying to compete at 170 pounds. So I don't even think that fight could be rebooked. So, man, they acted on that immediately. And it's like, nope, you're a middleweight now, sir. So I found that pretty interesting as well.
That's crazy. That's some crazy shit. You want me to share some crazy shit that's just happening?
Let's hear it.
That so right now we got some guys that are there for the Jake Paul, Nate Diaz open workouts
right
today
in Dallas.
And so then they're doing scrums. I guess Nate Diaz finally shows up because he was doing his own thing, was walking over to do the scrum. Then our boy Schmo, I guess, kind of messed it up because he intercepts them walking over to the area, and they start talking, and I guess he called him Nick Diaz, and Nate got pissed and turned around and walked away.
Oh no.
And then I guess maybe sort of did a little bit of a half-ass scrum, but was such in a pissy mood because he's also not smoking weed, so he's kind of pissy. And but yeah, I guess Schmo kind of fucked the whole media day thing, tried to do his little thing, and then I don't know if he was trying to joke or if he just literally just fucked up, but he kind of fucked everybody. So I guess now they're going to do a small invite of some reporters to talk with them before the presser, because the media day scrum or the open workout scrum got all fucked because Schmo playing games.
Oh,
or he just fucked up. And I like Schmo. So, I mean, yeah. But it's kind of shitty when you got these guys with their own agenda stopping a fighter that's on his way walking to a media scrum where everybody's waiting to do your little bits because you're fucking whatever, and then you fuck it up because the guy's already in a testy mood, and then he fucking walks away and he fucked everybody.
Yeah, and by the way, yeah. It should be said, pull back the curtain a little bit. I mean, you actually worked with the Schmo on a couple freelance gigs, like before he was the Schmo, right?
Dave, when he was Dave. Well, and it's like the Schmo was just starting because his name's Dave Schmuelinson, but he was Dave when I first met Dave. And he's like, oh, he was talking about his character and how he's working this whole thing, and that it worked for a little bit. And then finally, USA Today was like, okay, this isn't doing whatever. And then he kind of went off and did his own thing. I mean, he's been developing this character for a while, and you know, whatever, and it works, I mean, he's built himself a brand, but in a situation like this, I mean, this is what happens, and it can happen anywhere, and I'm not trying to pick on the Schmo or whatever, because this can happen anywhere, where we see people with their own sort of agenda you know, like with boxing, you know, you'll see, you know, there could be a set established, something set up, and then reporters are just grabbing fighters and boxers and to do whatever, and then it just drags the whole process down. And that's why I always bitch about how boxing's so uncoordinated and it's just awkward. And then in boxing, it's kind of dog eat dog. People just grab people and do whatever. So here's an instance where there's a set thing set up. You have all these reporters waiting, and then a reporter grabs the boxer, the fighter, and then ends up pissing the boxer off. Well, the fighter,
man,
whatever.
Poor Schmo, man.
And then
poor,
it just kind of fucked it. So, well, yeah, I'm sure he's going to catch some heat. That's why, it's on the ground or after the fact.
Yeah, that's why I want to be clear. It's just that you're not trying to pick on the guy because...
No. I like the Schmo. I like Dave a lot. I mean, like, this is just this mechanism of fight of reporters doing this sort of thing. Almost, I don't want to call it ambush, whatever, because I need to watch the footage to see. But when you're intercepting somebody and doing your own thing, and then... Now you screwed everybody else there. That's kind of fucked up. But
that's crazy, man.
It's not just him. It happens all the time. No, but it just unfortunately, in this case, it happened to be Schmo be the one that did it.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get their exclusive content, right? Because I mean, now it's so easy to distribute everything that you know people want unique content and they want their own stuff.
Yeah.
So they don't want the same.
I blame boxing. I don't blame Schmo. I blame boxing. They're unorganized bullshit.
All right, let's talk about
boxing. I mean, is so ridiculous.
So talk to me. How interested are you in Paul Verzeas? Because I will say this.
Interested to watch the fight. I mean, I won't lie. I mean, I want it because I like seeing Nate fight. I mean, I think Jake is going to beat Nate. I'll just take the heat. I'm going to go out there. I just think he's too young. He's too big. He's working his ass off. I don't think Nate fucking did a lick of any specialized training for this. I think he's in there collecting a paycheck, and he's going to do what he's going to do. But I think Jake's gonna beat him up.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Here's and look, you know what? I'll just echo your sentence. I'm really concerned.
But I would
about
be
that.
So happy if that did not happen.
Oh, I know.
I would be so super happy.
I
would love it if Nate just fucking pieced him out and just busts his nose and makes him look ridiculous. I just don't think it's gonna happen. Maybe if it was 10 years ago.
I'll be
10 years ago. Maybe
I'm with you. I will be openly cheering for Nate Diaz, man. I
100%.
But I worry a little bit as well that you know. That Jake is just going to be too big for him, and like you said, too young, too athletic, too powerful. I think you know it's clear, and I think most people feel the same way. The longer it goes, the better it is for everybody involved. For us on the Nate Diaz side, we want this thing to go as long as possible because you know Nate Diaz ain't going to quit. You know he's going to keep going. But those early rounds are going to be very, very tense. Here's what I didn't realize until this week, man, is this fight is on Saturday night. You know, a lot of the Paul fights I feel like had been on Sundays, which I liked because it was like they weren't going up against other stuff. This is going head-to-head with a UFC event that, yes, is a fight night event, but it's still going head-to-head with the UFC and just everything that goes on a Saturday night. I thought they were doing the Sunday thing again. I wonder how that's going to impact the pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, and I wonder if that was a venue call more than anything else, you know, like what was available in the area and what they could get as opposed to trying to push to a Sunday or whatever. I wonder if that was like in combination with the people there in Texas, you know, trying to figure that out, and they figured that the Saturday was the best date. But also, like you said, if they were looking at cards, I mean, they could have easily had it last weekend, but I think they were smart to not try to go up against that card. So, I mean, like if you're just looking on the strengths of, you know, what card and what main event people are going to be looking at, clearly anything with Diaz is going to just, you know, no offense to Sanhagen and Font, but, you know, the fact of Nate Diaz getting in there fighting anybody in a combat sports, like, come on, it's going to get more eyeballs. So, but yeah, I'm interested in seeing the fight. But like I said, I'll be cheering, hoping Nate gets some work done. But you know, like we said before, I mean, you know, I think Nate's living his best life and he's having a good time and he's going to get a ginormous paycheck, but I don't think he's done anything outside of his normal training. I mean, the guy trains and he stays in shape. But he's also, you know, out having a good time with his friends. And, I think it's just more of a conclusion. We just got to get through the fight. I just hope it, you know, if anything else, please make it, you know, a decision where we get a lot of good rounds. I don't want to see I don't want to see any early knockout, and I don't want to see just a complete drubbing that's just fucking, you know, I don't even know how many rounds it, 8 rounds, or did they go to 10 rounds? They switched it to something. I can't remember how many rounds.
I know they said they were going to go to 10. I don't know if they actually made it.
Did they not end up going to 10?
I thought, I know they said they were going to.
Even regardless, whether it's 7, 8, 9, 10, I just hope it's not just like a one-sided where we're just seeing Nate sit there the whole time like calling him over and then eating shots and then like, no, come back, come back, come back, and then eating more shots. It should be electric. It should be fun. I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to have my fingers crossed and hoping for the best and put whatever lucky charms I can find out around the house and maybe sacrifice a few chickens or something and do something else. I just don't think my juju is going to be enough to overcome the MMA curse that is going against all these MMA guys going in there in the cage with them. Jake does a wonderful job of picking stars that are beyond their prime.
Well, that's the part I was going to say is they've done a very good job of selecting his opponents along the way. And again, and I'm not saying that.
And that's boxing. That's boxing. That's boxing 101, right?
I don't want to make me sound like I hate on Jake Paul either, because as I said from the beginning, I really have respect for the way Jake Paul has taken training, right? He's turning himself into a boxer. I mean, he isn't just joking.
He's doing the work, man.
He's dedicating himself.
And anybody that's not giving him credit for doing the work, you're just hating.
Right.
You're just hating.
And while you want to, and what he's doing is a good job, because as you said, that's the boxing model, right? Like you don't fight a quote unquote real opponent until you're 15-0 at minimum, maybe 20-0. I mean, that they build up. I mean, you look at boxers' records. You go to like boxrec.com and you look at it. It's crazy. You'll see like he debuted against a guy that's 0-17. Then you fought a guy that's 1-30. And I mean, it's insane, right? And he's not doing
that. His opponent has 45 bouts under his thing.
Yeah.
He lost 44 of them, but
he's a 45 fight veteran.
45 times.
Yeah. If you ever are watching a boxing event and you hear the ring announcer say, "This man is a 35 fight veteran," yeah, you can count on the fact that he's like 2-33. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just not going to announce that.
It's so funny. You're right. When they use that phrase, that's so funny.
You know what's going on there. So, but what Jake Paul has done is he's followed that model, but done it in the most high profile way, profitable way possible. And so I respect him for that, man. I hate that he's picking off quote unquote our guys. Like, I look at him, man, like, that's our guys.
100%.
So I'll be cheering.
Yeah, dude, you got to give him all the credit, man. He's playing the box. He found the boxing playbook and he is following it to a T, and he's making loads of money. And, you know, but good on him, man. These fighters, even though they're unfortunately, you know, carrying the brunt of the badness of these fights, are making great money too. So they're playing the game for the money. They're getting big paychecks. They don't seem to be sad about it after the fact. So good on them. And so am I interested in the fight? Yeah, because I'm excited to watch Sanhagen fight. I'm excited to see Tatiana Suarez back in there. But dude, how can you not be excited to see Diaz in there boxing? We're so close. I just want to see it happen. I'm hearing like he was texting some things like, "Oh, I'm gonna do a different media or workout. I'm gonna go do whatever." And it's like, "Oh, bro, just make sure Saturday you go to the right arena to the fight. Get your gloves on and get in there and throw some hands. Like, please, can we make this happen?"
I bet Dana is sitting back just laughing, going, "Now you know. Now you know what I've been dealing with."
Oh my lord, he's chugging some limoncello or something, whatever, over there, and some Peronis,
all right, just so everybody knows, I believe it's $59.99 on pay-per-view. It's on DAZN, but I think it's also on ESPN Plus now, pay-per-view.
Could
as
be
well.
Worse.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Wasn't
Paul,
wasn't the one last more expensive than that?
I think
wasn't
so.
The last Jake Paul more than that? I thought it was like $80 or something.
I believe so, man. I think some of them have been more expensive along the way. And listen, you are getting Amanda Serrano versus Heather Hardy in there as well. Chris Avila versus Jeremy Stevens is in there as well. So a couple more little MMA ties in there also for things
Didn't
to watch.
Just see, that name sounds right. Did Serrano, is she the one just signed with the PFL?
She did, yeah. She literally was just announced today that she's
legit.
Gonna,
just announced it. That's
she's
legit.
Done,
so.
She's done some MMA already, only like a couple of fights, but she is a legitimate boxer. Like, she is an unbelievably good boxer.
When it comes to boxing, I remember everybody when like I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on Heather Hardy, because everybody was like, "Heather Hardy, she's a boxing champ, blah, 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 blah." There's levels to that, you know, and Serrano is legit, dude. She is legit. And, you know, at the same, you know, work set, I mean, the mindset of somebody to become a boxing champ and the discipline that she has, and she's got great physicality. I mean, if she focuses on MMA, she's going to be dangerous. But, you know, even but for day one, her hands are going to be just incredible because it's different. You know, people said now, and I know some, I think recently, I think it was Teddy Atlas or maybe it was Freddie Roach or somebody was asked about the level of boxing in MMA and had it been rising. And they just said, yes, it has been rising. It has been getting better. But man, when you're starting to see like legit champs enter into the sport, like it's gonna boost it up because quite a bit. Because then you're gonna get more tape now from the MMA fighters, gonna see real boxers and how they adapt boxing steps and the stances and the way they fight into an MMA sphere. And then I think they'll all learn from it, you know. So it's great. I mean, the more boxers that cross over, the level of striking and some of those coaches will eventually start coming over as well. And I imagine that the striking at MMA is only going to benefit from more boxers entering into the realm.
So just so you know, Amanda Serrano, by the way, if anybody's not familiar, she does have 3 fights as a mixed martial artist. She's 2-0-1. Interestingly enough, 2 of them are via submission. Her 2 wins both came via submission. Now, granted, we're talking about entry-level competition. But in talking about resumes, as a boxer, Amanda Serrano, 44-2-1 with 30 knockouts. So, I mean, she's got pedigree. Heather Hardy, who we're familiar with as well from Bellator, of course, 24-2, but just 4 knockouts along the way. So, you know, has been outpointing a lot of fighters. But you're right. Amanda Serrano is good. I'm anxious to see what she can do in MMA as well. She's not young. I think she's like 34 at this point, so she's not getting like an early start. But if you've ever seen her in person, she's a phenomenal athlete. So she's in incredible shape. So I think she'll still bring something to the table. So I'm
How about the blonde bomber in boxing?
24. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully she crosses over into some MMA.
Oh, yeah, right?
I worked those weigh-ins all day long. She wears some nice outfits for that stuff. Big fan of hers.
You were funny. She is making some waves in social media, is she not?
Yes, she is. I mean, that's the day. That's the day we live in.
That's funny. All right,
ain't hating.
You touched about it on the UFC as well. A fight night event, you know, this is what we do, right? A big pay-per-view, and then you come back with a fight night that, you know, if you're looking up and down the card, you're not going to be as intrigued by. But there are some meaningful matchups. Of course, the main event, Corey Sandhagen.
It's a good main card. It's a really good main card.
It's Rob Font obviously steps in for Umar Nurmagomedov. I think that was a really, really intriguing fight. This is intriguing in a different way with Rob Font because I thought with Umar we were going to get that big test and see, like, hey, everybody believes this is the guy. You know, he's the next level. We're going to find out. We're not getting that now. Instead, we're getting kind of Corey Sandhagen and Rob Font, which stylistically should be a hell of a fight, right? It should just be a lot of
fun. Catch weight
because of the late notice. But both guys that are kind of trying to prove that they still belong in that upper echelon, right? They've had some setbacks, but they want to prove. So there's something on the line here, and stylistically, I think it's going to come together and be an entertaining matchup, but not as, you know, with Umar, again, we were saying, okay, is that dude ready for the next level? So I was intrigued by that. But this will be in Nashville, Tennessee. It will be at Bridgestone Arena, so you will have the full crowd. So if you're one of these people that just bemoans the Apex and can't stand the fact that shows are happening there, this will appeal to you. I like Corey Sandhagen.
Nashville's a fun-ass town. Nashville's a great town. Great food, great music.
I stand in firm disapproval of when people call it Nash Vegas. I think that is the dumbest name I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, that's pretty ridiculous.
But it is a cool town. It's got a lot of fun places to do and good things to do. I like Corey Sandhagen.
There is no other Vegas, people. There is no other Vegas.
Exactly.
Like,
this
stop.
Is only Vegas.
But Nashville is dope. Great music scene. The people, everybody there is always having a good time, but the food's amazing. It's a beautiful area.
But go away with that.
I'm definitely Team Nashville.
Miss me on that Nash Vegas stuff. All right. I like Corey Sandhagen in the fight. Is there anything about Rob Font that stands out to you that you think, like, oh, he's primed?
He's super tough. He's got good hands. He's super tough. I mean, I think if Sandhagen tries to make it just a stand in the middle and throw hands, that could be bad because Font really, I think, shines in those moments. I think he needs to be more electric. I think he needs to keep the angles, and I think he needs to eventually try to work the you know, different levels and try to get Font down. I did lean Sandhagen, but Font's legit, man. I know I've doubted him in fights before, and he just his toughness, and he shows up, and he has great hands. He's got a great team behind him. It should be a lot of fun. Somebody's gonna bleed for sure because both these guys are great strikers. I don't know if they can use the backhand as much as Connor would like, but Did you watch it? I know we were going to eventually get started. You watch that last episode? Oh, boy, would not just stop. Use the backhand. The backhand's there, Brad. Brad, the backhand.
I told you.
I was like, oh, my God. Stop it, Connor.
I told you, man. It's funny. Every time, it's like, you got to use the rear hand. The rear hand uppercut. That's hilarious.
Did you agree with that decision?
I'll tell you what.
Did you agree with that?
I didn't, man. I did not agree with the decision. I was watching.
I did not. I was like, what are they watching? I don't understand it. I can't believe it.
It was a great fight. So much to the point that I actually took a second to tweet about it on Tuesday to just say, hey, even if you haven't been watching this season, watch tonight's episode, because this is, look, that's a high level fight, man. I mean,
yeah.
Brad Katona.
I responded
Timur
to that.
Valiant?
Did you not see my response?
What'd you say? I didn't see. You got on Twitter?
I just responded and just said, yeah, I know. I respond. I was so upset about the decision. I was like, I'm going on Twitter and yell about it. I was like, who's going to put something up? And I saw you put a tweet on there, and I just wrote back and I said, judges got that shit wrong or something like that.
You know what,
or something.
Man? I thought it was a great fight.
It was a great fight.
I disagree. I was having a few frosty beverages as I watched it, but I thought for sure Timur Valiant should have taken that fight.
I could say that he took all three. I started going back and was thinking, like, was the first round maybe? Could I say that Brad maybe took it? I was like, I know he had some great shots, but I was like, but Timur was eating him up on the legs and landing good shots. I was like, no, I think I gave him easily the first two, well, not easily, but I think going in the third round, Timur's already took the first two rounds. This is a done deal. He just doesn't got to get knocked out, you know? And then I thought he did fine in the third round. He looked a bit tired, but I thought he still did the better work in the third round. So I was partially thinking, I was like, dude, I think he got all three rounds. Then I started going back. I was like, what two rounds did Brad take? You know, I just was scratching my head. So yeah, I went to Twitter just to bitch about it.
That's funny.
That's all I do. I go to Twitter to bitch. Nobody reads my shit anyways, but still, I was like, I found your tweet. I was like, well, I'll just tag it on to John's tweet, or something.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't spoil it for anybody that was going to stay and maybe watch it later in the week. But yeah, I thought it was a great fight.
When it happened, Eric, yeah, you can't do something and wait 24 hours. We're going to ruin it for you, of course.
Sorry. That's the way it goes? Yeah, 24 hours, man. Come on now.
Well, by the time they hear this, they'll have some extra time. So get your watch in right now. I hope you're watching it right now. You got a couple hours before
this comes out. Not to mention the fight actually took place like in March. So,
that's what I was trying to think. When did we have the tough media day? Because Brad wasn't beat up at that time. So that fight maybe didn't happen at that point. I know they had some filming, but at that point I was like, okay, they hadn't got to the finals yet because he wasn't wearing anything on his face. But I couldn't remember at what point of the year that they happened. But it's funny because I remember watching that media days because some of the guys did fight. And when I was trying to, you can't ask them, you know, what's going on. We only can ask them so many questions. But I remember thinking like who I saw that was busted up at that time. I was like, okay, yeah, this dude fought. This guy's fought. This guy's fought.
You're like, what kind of
And what would have been funny at that point, like everybody that we saw at that point, since it was earlier in the taping, it would have been all prospects.
Yeah.
Because they were all, I mean, all of them were wearing some sort of shiner, but I think even Jason Knight had something on. I think he had glasses on, so I couldn't quite tell. But some of the pros looked like they had, or the vets looked like they had some of, like they were wearing some stuff, but definitely on the prospect side. But now when I think about it, looking back, I was like, oh, that's why, because they were all losing. They were all getting touched up, you know.
That's so funny. All right, well, I guess I'll go ahead and pre-put it out there. I mean, if you watched it, you already saw, but they tease next week is going to be Jason Knight versus Kurt Hollibaugh. That you already know is going to be a great fight. And just from those two guys' fighting styles, you know it's going to be a great fight. But they did show some kind of added, you know, I think Dana looks over at Craig Piligian and said, like, that's the fight of the season right there or something. So, I mean, if that's the case, because I thought this fight was phenomenal as well. I thought they kept adding
Dana's partner saying, like, oh, that's a good fight. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, they're just justifying the robbery. Like, they're just giving B-roll for them to be like, well, clearly the boss thought it was there. I was like, what are they all watching? What are they watching?
They got to give Timur a contract, right? Like, they have to.
I mean, I would think that, you know, just like with Contender Series, that guys, some of these guys lose. I think if they've shown the work, Dana will give them a shot. You know, even when he was talking about even Katoni, he's like, I wasn't really happy with how his first performance, but then he came out better in the second one, blah, blah, blah. I think all these this time it's almost like re-auditioning for potential contract stuff to, you know, whether they still have it, whether these prospects were worth bringing in at some point, you know, whether they have a decent enough story. But yeah, I would think Teamer for sure. He deserves them because, yeah, he got done wrong for sure. I was just, it's weird that, you know, if we would have been there and say if we would have had a typical post fight presser or some sort of post fight interview, we could have been like, Dana, what were your thoughts on it, really? You know, and, you know, is this the kind of thing that we reward him after the fact, you know, with something? It would have been interesting to get his take on it and where he saw it. But since it's a TV show, we don't get that, you know. So we kind of just got to take it on the chin and yell about it on Twitter, you know, and then move on.
All right, listen, the rest of this UFC card, by the way. Really interesting, this Jessica Andrade versus Tatiana Suarez. This is, on, I'll be honest with you, yeah. I'm probably more excited about that fight than I am the main event, just because Tatiana looked like surefire championship material until she had that, you know, devastating injury that kept her out forever, battled her way back, and now she's getting former champ Jessica Andrade, who's as tough as they come. By the way, the betting odds on this are crazy, man. Tatiana, like a minus 375, minus 400, which I don't necessarily disagree with because of her dominating wrestling style. But against somebody as tough and as powerful as Jessica Andrade, I was like, wow, wow.
That's a big number. Man, Tatiana's, I think, is going to – Jessica's always fought people that are, for the most part, bigger because she's shorter, but she's always been a little stockier, more filled out, and she just always has that power. But, boy, Tatiana's big.
Yes.
She is really, really big, and she's really thick, and she's very, very strong and muscular. So, I mean, I think when they get in there to face off, I think it's going to be a pretty big discrepancy, and I think that's partially why some of those odds. But I did lean Suarez on this one. I thought I was really impressed with how she came back and how she looked in her fight. And while Jessica's got that power, man, I think Tatiana's going to do a decent enough job to kind of just negate that. And she just got to get a hold of her.
Yeah.
If she gets a hold of her, I mean, that then it's – I don't want to say it's game over, but it's a bad night for anybody that lets Tatiana kind of get her hooks in there and get on her back. If she gets her back, it's done for.
She's so
it's
good. Done. She's really, really good.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'll be
excited. I just remember we were literally – it's so crazy because we were like – she. A future champ. We all saw it. We all knew it. It was just her trajectory was going that way, and just so weird how, you know, well, not weird, but after the injury, it was just like we had to kind of forget her because the way that the sport's so fast and so many events, time just moves on.
Yep.
And we kind of knew she was out there on the orbit, you know, kind of healing up and whatever. And now she's back, man. So I think it's just this is one of those wins that, depending on how she looks, it's going to be hard to not throw her back in the mix. And, you know, if she comes out with a big, big performance against a big name, I think we have to start hyping her up again, man.
I agree. Hey, man,
it'll be right back there.
At one point, everybody was calling her the female Habib. You know what I mean?
Female so Habib, right?
Pretty crazy.
It's ridiculous. How cool is that? I mean, I remember it's funny. Kaplan was like, isn't that kind of disrespectful? I was like, I'm sure it is, but they're putting her name up there with the guy that people think is the baddest motherfucker on the planet, you know? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, if someone's a basketball player and they're like, dude, she's like the female Michael Jordan. Like, is that person going to be like...
I'm like, how dare you? Couldn't you call him... I don't know enough female, you know, basketball players.
Cheryl Swoops.
Yeah, that's fucking Jordan, Swoops. Dude. Yeah, Swoops. Candace Parker.
There you go. So you know a couple.
And a couple. I should know that the captain for the Aces. She's a badass. I can't remember what her fucking name is, but
there you
she's
go.
A fucking stud.
I mean,
but yeah, champion, I mean,
world champion. Las Vegas.
It was just thought it was silly. I was like, dude, like, I get it. I don't know enough wrestling stud females to say she's obviously this because that's her.
Yeah.
They were just trying to put her against one of the best MMA fighters and said that this is the female version of that.
Shouldn't complain about that. All right, listen, rest of this card, Dustin Jacoby versus Kenny Anjikuku. Kennedy was funny. He got in to the rankings at number 15, and then Alex Pereira made his debut at 205, and he got kicked out. But now he's fighting number 15. So he was in the rankings for 1 week, and now he's out, but he's fighting to get back in. Diego Lopez versus Gavin Tucker should be a bananas fight. Tanner Bolger is in there against Alexa Kamer. Obviously, Tanner always comes to bring it. Ignacio Bahamondes versus Ludovic Klein should be a lot of fun. I'm brokenhearted at this one. Billy Quarantillo versus Damon Jackson, like two dudes that I absolutely love that are like just great guys, and that's going to be a hell of a scrap. That's just one where I hate where one guy has to lose. That'll be a fun one. Kyler Phillips versus Jaime Barcelos could be really good as well. Jeremiah Wells is in there. A little bit of CFSC love against Carlson Harris. Speaking of CFSC love, Dennis Bazookia got the call up this week. It was funny.
That was a tough opponent. That was Sean Woodson, man. That's a tough opponent.
Hey, you wanted into the show? You got the show,
man. Here you
go.
Oh,
man. Sean Woodson, that lanky, rangy. I mean, 6'2", 78-inch reach. Pretty wild. It was cool, man. I was at the ABC meetings yesterday, and I was actually had lunch with Danny Rubenstein and a couple other people as well. And I was with Danny when he got the call for Dennis Bazookia to take it, and it was so cool to see Danny's reaction. He was like, "Yes, yeah!" Like he was fired up because he's you know Dennis Bazookia, a guy that looks like he should have been in a long time ago. To be honest, one of those weird ones that you're just like, "Why isn't he in already?" But it was cool to see Danny's excitement.
He's still relatively young. He's 25 years old. So,
yeah, he's still got time.
That's not too bad.
He looked so good when he fought for us at CFSC. But I don't know. It was cool to me because you know. As many clients as some of these guys have, and as fast as this thing is working, and as you know, they got a whole bunch of things going. To see his like real enthusiasm, like real joy that it got done, it was I don't know, man. It was a good moment. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this isn't all just a business and get somebody in. Like, he was genuinely like super excited to be like, yeah, we got him in. We got him in.
What's his thing? Ruby Entertainment.
Yeah, Ruby Sports Entertainment.
Ruby Sports Entertainment.
Yeah,
Ruby's a good dude, man.
He's a good dude.
There's some really good ones out there. I mean, it's funny because I know we've seen fighters, you know, at times make the distinction to say, all right, I'm going to go away from a manager. I don't find that it's necessary. You know, they want to do the bookings. They want to kind of handle it, and they want to keep that little bit of money. But it's nice seeing the ones that are out there that are really, really good at it and do care about the guys, and they have those connections. I mean, Ruby, I remember when I first met him, it was because he was like – Shelby's like best friend or something. So it was like, I remember like, I was like, who's this guy always here at the events or whatever. It's like, but that's part of what some of the managers have. It's these connections and stuff, but it's cool to see that even outside of someone that actually cares about the people that are there, they're actually investing in it. They're training with them. They're sweating with them. You know, they're getting banged up with them and then, you know, sharing the joys with them. So yeah, it's cool. I mean, so it doesn't surprise me when you say that he got excited because Rube, I think he's shown himself to be one of the good ones out there for sure. So
I agree.
Good on him.
All right, listen, just so you know, busy weekend this weekend. One Championship is back on Friday night, and they're actually – it's one of their Amazon Prime Video shows, so you can watch it in prime time on Friday night. It's a lot of kickboxing and grappling, so some people might not be excited about the headliners, but they're good. Featherweight kickboxing world title in the main event, Chingiz Alisov versus Murat Gregorian. I love the co-main event. I know a lot of people don't like the submission grappling, but Mikey Musumeci is legit one of the best grapplers in the world.
You just killing these names, dog.
Oh,
I love it.
But
crushing these names.
But he's going against Jared Brooks, the monkey god who fought in the UFC, who's the strawweight MMA champ. He's actually going over to compete in grappling. So it's an uphill battle for Jared Brooks, but
yeah, it's a tough one.
He had an amazing quote. He's like, "Hey, he thinks this is a jiu-jitsu match. Like, I'm making this a fight. Like, I'm gonna bring an MMA mindset to it." But
like it.
I know he likes to talk some trash. I love it. But it's a tough one.
Like
but
it.
Let me just now. So that's why some people may go, "I don't even know who the hell you're talking about, John." I mean, okay, cool. Tell me. But I'm telling you, those are worth watching. But now let me bring you back in for the MMA fans. John Lineker's on the card. I mean, what else do I even need to tell you? If John Lineker is on the card, you're going to want to watch that, right? I mean, he's definitely worth checking out. And you got some insanity at heavyweight. You've got Marcus Buchecha Almeida, who is a legit grappling legend. Like, I mean, an uncountable number of world jiu-jitsu titles. But he's facing Rug, the Senegalese wrestler.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, bro, that is Japanese freak show fight written all over. Two big boys going at it. That's Pride era greatness right there. So definitely worth checking that out on Amazon. Everybody's got Amazon Prime, right? Like, I mean, there's no way you don't have it.
If you don't, I'm like, what? You pay for delivery? Like, what? Like, who doesn't have Prime at this point?
Exactly.
That's not an advertisement, but Amazon, if you're listening to this, we will take your money.
Yeah,
I would take
absolutely.
Free Prime.
I mean, I know there are people that hate Amazon as a company, but I mean, let's be honest, you got to have it to survive.
They do good shit. Yeah.
All right, so that's Friday. Now, you got to go split screen action on Friday night, though. I'm leaving late tomorrow night, so I'm just swooping in for fight night and then coming back. But the PFL playoffs are getting underway. And those will actually be in San Antonio. It's on ESPN, ESPN Plus, the main event. Bubba Jenkins versus Jesus Pinedo. You do have Josh Silvera, Conan Silvera's son, is in the semifinals as well. I know we're fond of him. Nothing against Ty Flores, but it's just we've known Conan
sorry,
for a
Ty.
Long time. You know, and
just sorry, Ty. Sorry.
Impa Gasangani.
I hope you have a great fight, but you know, just don't lose too bad. You know?
Just sorry, sorry. Impa Gasangani is in there against Martin Hamlet. I know a lot of people are fans of Impa Gasangani and Chris Wade against Gabriel Braga. Chris Wade and Bubba Jenkins is probably the best rivalry in the PFL, at least in my mind right now, and there's a possibility that they could both win and meet in the finals, and it would be a trilogy fight between each other. They absolutely hate each other's guts. And at Media Day this week, it was funny because Chris Wade was like, you know, I don't really care. I don't care if I fight the guy or not. Like, I don't like him, so whatever.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. And then, meanwhile,
stop lying, Chris.
Bubba Jenkins was calling him Karen Wade. And then was just going off on him, like, just saying, oh, I definitely want to fight him in the finals. Like, I want to beat his ass. Like, I want
Bubba living in his head. Oh, he's living in Wade's head. Wade totally wants that fight. He's trying to, you know, put a good face and say that he's not in his head. But, yeah, he wants that fight.
I think he's trying to manage
those
emotions,
guys legit
right?
Like, do not like each other. They legit do not like
each other. Hate each other. And so I think, like you said, I think it's a deal where Chris, A, just doesn't like talking about it, and B, I think he's probably just trying to manage emotions and make sure he doesn't lose sight.
Because he's got another fight. He's got another opponent in front of him. It's smart. Dana would yell at us for even talking about it with this happening in the same fight week. You know, he's like, come on, guys. Stop.
Why are you asking about that, guys?
Why even asking that? That's just stupid. Stupid. Out here trying to start shit. What the fuck?
That's so true. Why does Dana picks and chooses when it's okay to talk about the future? Like, when it's okay to, you know, we don't make matchups. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. No, that's who he's fighting. Yeah. That's
who he's fighting. So ridiculous. I'm trying to think. There was a video somewhere. Look it up. Bader was interviewed with somebody recently, and he was talking about how some of that shit did come out afterwards, like some of the fight stuff. So they definitely did some creative not showing of, like, Bader's fights and, like, rough stuff that happened on that episode or whatever. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. But he didn't really allude to it too much, but he was like, oh, yeah, shit was popping off and blah, blah, blah. But
that's
you
what
don't
I
see any of it.
Why
would you not show that?
I've heard.
Why would you not show that?
I've heard from multiple people. They were like, bro, it was intense. Like, there was stuff going on. But I've never heard exactly, like, what exactly happened. You know what I mean? I thought we'd get to see the tape.
It's so crazy. I'm like, you want to have some good ratings. Like, how about show the fight stuff? Remember all the stuff that always popped off in the houses resurfaced over and over in promos and all the other shit. But now you have some stuff that happens, and it just happens to be with guys that are no longer in your employ. But now it's like crickets. You don't want to show anything. I'm like, what is going on?
I wonder if we go back and revisit the people that we've talked to, including Bader, after everything is aired. Like, I wonder if they're a little hesitant to say anything just because, like, you know, NDAs.
They might feel like that probably makes more sense because the show's still ongoing. That probably makes sense.
Maybe after it's over, we'll get the full story of, like, okay, here's what happened.
Because
everybody just keeps saying, like, everybody I talked to is like, dude, it was crazy. And then they just kind of leave it at that. So maybe they're waiting.
I think you're right. So let's be good and let's remember to not ask them until the show's done. and then let's ask them. Let's not get them in trouble. Because, yeah, I would love to find out what really happened, because we were hearing things nonstop. And then I remember how many episodes watching, just like, yes, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. And we never got the payoff. And I'm just like, I'm still grumpy about it. So, yeah, I want to hear the stories.
That's great, man. All right. Well, listen. All right. Time for me to head out to my kids' jiu-jitsu. So a lot of MMA this weekend, some boxing as well, but the MMA ties. You're going to enjoy it all from home here in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it. I'm going to soak it up. But, yeah, I love it, man. I love this. So we're going to have multiple stuff on Fridays, multiple stuff on Saturdays, and I get to do it all from my couch. I'm fucking over the moon excited about this weekend. I love it. I love being able to just sit on my couch and watch it. It's awesome. And for this, I'm just remote, just like assist. Do I? Yeah, I am still like supposed to help, but whatever. we're not being there. We don't have anybody in Nashville. Like, this is going to be even easier. I'm literally, I might have a beer too.
What? I'm a really bad influence. Maybe, I have ruined.
Maybe.
I've ruined you for a good 2 weeks now. You're like, well, we're just kind of back in the swing of things.
I
know.
I did get out and walk today, this morning. I felt good because it was a little bit cooler. So I got out and walked, got my steps and got my 4.5 miles in this morning. Waved at a couple trains. I didn't get the train honk. I had my shirt on today, so maybe they didn't like me as much because I didn't have my shirt off, you know. But
you're such a little kid, dude.
I've gotten one train, and I was like, yes, because you know when they do that, anybody within miles can hear that noise, and I'm just like, yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But it's so cool.
That's too funny. Yeah, all right, well, listen, I'll let you enjoy all that. Shout out to the legend, Thomas Gerbasi, who...
Oh, yes. Thank you, Tom.
Re-upped supporting us over at patreon.com/the
Coming
NBA
in at
Road
the
Show.
Star level. Man, superstar level.
Absolute legend in the combat sports game, and to know that he's supporting us means everything in the world. So if you would like to support us, we'd certainly appreciate it. Head on over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, and you can help us out over there. You get the exclusive access to the NHF episodes, which I'll be doing this week as well.
And you might get some of this anti-harassment video acting me 20 years ago.
Can't wait to see the acting chops of a 20-year-old.
It's so
younger.
Bad. It's so bad.
Oh, man.
There was a reason I started doing the technical side of theater and was switching to, like, lighting design and stuff. So, and if you want to see me, if you want to see my acting debut on film, there is a movie out there called Johnny Appleweed. And I was Curtis, the drug dealer. I have a small, small little bit in that. If you don't believe me, go search me on IMDb.
You were not
IMDb,
in a movie
motherfuckers.
Called Johnny Appleweed.
Johnny Appleweed.
I mean, what is the distribution of said film here?
I mean, I think you can find it online somewhere. That's about where it's being distributed.
How am I still just learning stuff about you at this point?
Well, you know, there's plenty of embarrassing moments of my past I keep to myself until I somehow let them out of the bag. But yeah,
that's hilarious.
Johnny Appleweed, y'all.
Johnny Appleweed. That's definitely going in the show description right there.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, good shit.
Awesome. All right. Well, yeah,
enjoy jiu-jitsu.
Off the kids. Jiu-jitsu.
Enjoy your jiu-jitsu and stuff. Is Eli still? You still roll with him? You still giving him some rolling time?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not out there rolling, but he's on the mats.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you'd like it at home, if you're like, here, let's try that move, son, that I saw you working on. I think we could work on that Kimura a little bit. He'd fuck you up, wouldn't he?
I try to not be, like, I don't want to be, like, that combat sports parent or whatever that's like, you know, you should be doing that. Yeah. Just go do your jiu-jitsu, and I try not to be there's some super competitive, like, yeah. Living vicariously through their kid kind of folks.
Yeah,
out
I was
going to
say, that's what's kind of fun of it, that, you know, you're being supportive, but you're letting him, you know, steer where his likes are. And it's cool because he's doing multiple shit, you know, which is kind of cool because he's not putting all of his effort in one thing either. You know, he's keeping it fun. He's doing soccer. Yep. He's doing jiu-jitsu. He's doing, I don't know, BMX bikes trading. I don't know. He's got so many fucking hobbies. I don't even know what all that your kid's doing.
Got to play some golf. Cool. You know, golf's always good.
Golf, that's the other one.
Get some business deals done on the golf course. He just got his school schedule done. He's going to be taking a guitar class this year, which I'm
pretty
excited about.
At school?
Yeah, it's a...
They teach that at school?
I guess I think they call it like a, it's not a charter school, but I can't remember what they call it. But yeah, they have a class in there that's guitar.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he's
like, I love doing, like, I mean, I did like band with school from like sixth grade up until like my sophomore year, and I loved it. But you know, and I know at some places they have like jazz band and other stuff. So yeah, any musical shit, that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's good shit. Yep. I hope they keep arts in the school. I know some people are like, oh, it's, you know, oh, no, don't do it. I'm like, dude, we need arts. We need arts. Arts, we need creative people, and we need, you know, it can't just be all math and bullshit.
How else keep would you arts. Get jazz hands?
Dude, right? Right? You guys can't see them, but can you feel that? are your ears getting warm right now?
Feel the energy from the jazz
hands. Right here, they're surrounding the mic. Just feel that shit all up in your head.
All right. Go have some frosty beverages with your friend. Have a good time. And for everybody else, thanks for listening.